Welcome to the Estate Professionals Mastermind Podcast, a podcast for estate professionals who earn more, work less, and make a huge difference in their communities. If you get value out of this free content, be sure to check out probatemastery.com, where you can get live classes, access to weekly coaching, and valuable courses. To learn more, visit probatemastery.com. Now let's jump into this week's content.
Welcome to our Probate Mastery Real Estate Coaching Call. I'm Bill Gross, at Bill Gross Probate on social media. And I'm a real estate broker in Los Angeles, California. And this is a weekly call we do 11 a.m. on Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 11 a.m. Pacific time, associated with probatemastery.com. And this is the part of the program where we get together and share challenges, best practices, victories, losses. Probatemastery.com is the program. There's three tracks there. There's the basics, some free information. Always start with the free stuff. And then there's a free weekly coaching call, which is, if you click there, that brings you to registering for this call. Love to have you do that if you're watching this on YouTube or some other format. And then if you get certified, click here, I think, for the best certification program in terms of giving you the most value for your time spent. And I think rather than just how to get business, really teaching you how to create value for your customers and additional course bundles as well. Separately, we can continue the conversation on the Facebook group, Estate Professionals Mastermind. Over 7,300 agents there and members. Feel free to post your probate-related content. You find out more about different programs here. And then I separately host Probate Weekly, probateweekly.com. It's an interview format program on Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can sign up here for reminders or see past episodes on video or audio. And then I have a Facebook group, Probate Weekly, as well. So I'd love to have you continue the conversation. You can put my information, Linktree, linktr.ee/BillGross has all my info on it. And that's our housekeeping for today. So our goal today is to be interactive. I tell agents, the more you participate, the more money you make. The more value you create, the more money you make. And so we want to create value for our colleagues and work through problems, share successes. Lou Gutierrez is with us today. Lou, what's going on, man? Let's get you unmuted and get you in. So Lou is our official staff person, our official, what are you, Lou? What do you do?
Hey, how's it going, Bill? Yeah, good. This is Lou Gutierrez. I'm the course advisor for Probate Mastery.
There you go.
I've been helping out for, I think, about 3 months now. God, time flies. And just wanted to say hello to everybody. Also to let you know that we currently have Probate Mastery, the certification course, on sale for $399. And we also now have Probate Mastery Interactive Course Bundle and Probate Coaching Package available. Now that's a lot of info right there, so let me unpack it. This is a 6-month program, all right, that includes 6 courses, including Probate Mastery, the certification course, and EARN, which is the probate attorneys referrals course that teaches you how to grow your business through attorney referrals, all right? So those two courses will be included in the 6-month package and also 4 other new classes that Bruce is now releasing, okay? And included in all of this will be bi-weekly probate coaching, all right? So you'll get all of this for $399 a month for 6 months. Okay. Now, if you'd like more information on this, look at the discovery call with me. We'll put a link for that in the chat in just a few minutes. All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lou. Thanks so much. Good. So, and again, that's if you want more details in the programs, love you to participate. I've taken all the programs, I've paid for them all. I got certification at the prior company and this one and from 4 other companies. So I would definitely urge you. I find this one the best. I recommend this without getting any kind of referral fee or affiliate income because I believe it really takes the most professional approach to how do you create customers when you are trying to build your business, which I think is the key. And he did freeze up. I think he had a bad internet connection. Natasha Saunders, reaching out from New York City. I don't know if we can get you on the video there to give everybody a treat, but what's going on? Natasha, can we get you unmuted? How can we help you? Tasha, I think I hit the unmute button. There you go. No.
Hey, can you hear me?
What's up, Natasha?
Hey, Val. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yeah.
I can't show my video right now because I'm still in my pajamas.
Oh,
Don't
Natasha, now
judge
you're just teasing us.
me. Don't judge me.
No, we want to see you in your pajamas. Just kidding. Did I say that I'm married? My wife's out of the house, so I can say that I'm
Exactly.
married.
How you doing today, Bill?
Good, doing real good.
I have two questions for you. I know we spoke earlier. I told you I would definitely let you know if anything came up. So later on today, I am going to be, well, okay, the first question. Later on, I'm going to be meeting with a neighbor when she comes from work because she is having a bit of a probate issue.
Nice.
Now, this may be state specific, but I wanted to get your thoughts on, is it possible for you to get rid of your executor? Like, what happens when you have an executor that sucks and you're an heir and they're not going down to the courthouse, they're not updating you, they're not filing the proper documents on time, and now a year and a half has gone by and nothing has really come about in the situation. I advised her to at the very least go down to the courthouse and find out what information that she could as far as the status of where they are in the process. But she can't really do but so much with this executor issue.
Great question. So, what do you do with a bad executor if you're an heir? Now, if you're a real estate agent, you're like saying, well, I have a bad customer. What do I do? Well, that's a different question. But if you're an heir, the executor or administrator has a fiduciary responsibility to the estate of which the heir is an heir. And so, there's legal issues and each state's a little different, but the bottom line is there's a overriding requirement to do what's best for everybody, not just yourself. So you can't just sell the property to your best friend on the cheap and split the profits. That'd be a violation of ethics or fiduciary responsibility. And then there's also doing the job. The thing that I don't think people understand, and as a real estate agent now in this business, focus this business for 5 years in probate. I don't think executors, petitioners understand how much work it is to fulfill that role properly. It's a lot of paperwork. Now, for me as a realtor, I'm dealing with papers and contracts all day long, make decisions, e-sign stuff, Federal Express stuff, print stuff out, print stuff at the FedEx office. I'm doing that all day long, pushing massive amounts of information, making big decisions, contracting services out. But you find that sometimes executors, administrators or petitioners or whatever they are in that case, they may have never bought or sold a house in their life. They maybe never hired anybody to do any work for them in their life. And now they're hiring an attorney and they're hiring a cleaning service, an estate sales service, termite company, contractor. For many people, it's overwhelming. And I try not to be judgmental here. But for many people, it is beyond their ability. Like if you were hiring somebody in California, we have a limitation on how much you can charge as attorney and also the same number as the administrator. And so if people don't necessarily know in probate, when you file the probate case, there's multiple heirs, the one who signs up to do the work is entitled to get paid for their time. And it sounds like a lot. For a $1 million state, it could be it's limited at $23,000. Plus expenses.
Wow.
But $23,000 is a lot of money as a side gig.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of money as a full-time job.
No.
And for some people, it's disruptive enough where it becomes almost like a full-time job for them. Meaning where I could put a house on the market and get it sold and get it all done in a couple hours of work. For some people, just the emotional process of reviewing the paperwork and then they want somebody to come out to their house and then they want to review it again, it can be a full-time job for them. So we'd be careful when we judge people that it might seem like they're not doing what they're supposed to do. It could be they're doing something wrong on purpose. It could be it's just beyond their ability to do the meet the responsibilities they signed up for. So all that is a long-winded way of saying it depends because in some cases, it's communication and understanding Like one year, they don't know that making a phone call once a month isn't a big deal. But to the person who's the administrator, if they have a job and they have a family and they have a kid and now they have this job,
yeah,
making one extra phone call a month feels like too much to them.
Yeah.
So we have to coach people, encourage people, try to get them through that. On the flip side, though, there are administrators who are incompetent. They can't do the job properly, aren't doing the job properly, whether it be on purpose or because they're overwhelmed. And that's where you get an attorney to perhaps file to have the administrator, executor, or trustee removed. It's expensive.
Good.
You got to pay money to do that. It's not simple.
So
it's always much better to hire somebody. What I do is I watch the estate for the client, not legally as an attorney, but as a business person. Are they listing the property properly? Are they getting into escrow properly? Are they filing all the right papers? So depends on the state. That's a good question to ask a local attorney to review a case and see if there's something there that they can help with. If they can, they get hired. And if not, then you can't help them with that.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, just a thought. I know you said, even though it may be expensive, just a thought that there may be an option out there somewhere if you did push come to shove, have to replace an executor, you could, you know?
Yeah.
Okay,
sometimes
good.
The executor dies. Sometimes the executor is glad to get rid of the job.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, and previously—
And one last thing. Sometimes the executor needs some help. And so I use a company called Scrivener, Scrivnr.com, who can help the administrator by doing a lot of the administrative work. They do the counting, they'll file the taxes. So there's a way you can maybe help them by giving them services to make the job easier for them.
Yes, I remember you gave us that website, I think that's like 2 weeks ago or so. Okay, so I'm going to give that information to her because from what she's telling me, it does sound, like you said, like the executor is just overwhelmed in their own personal life with like family and kids and husband and work and stuff like that. So maybe she may need some assistance. So I can give her this site as something maybe to look into in case she does need some help. And does that, do they assist in all states or do you know?
So they're growing. And I would say most states, if not all states.
Okay.
Certainly New York is one they do.
Okay. I'll look into them first before I give the information to her. Okay.
Mention my name. They'll give you a little better service. Mention my name, they'll give you a little better service.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. I love to name drop. So
I use Natasha Saunders all the time. It gets me a great place at a restaurant.
It will soon. Mark my words.
Okay. Okay, Natasha.
At least they're in New York.
Okay. Well, I come to New York once a year or so. So I'll use it there.
Yes, yes. Okay, so look, I think it turns out like I actually have three questions. Okay, so with that being said, I've only dealt in the past with the administrators of the estate as far as trying to get the listing. I've never dealt with talking to an heir who haven't had an executor. I've already started kind of talking to my neighbor about me being able to sell the house because it's right across the street from me. Me being able to sell the house once, you know, the probate process is handled. But how do I handle this when there's an executor now? If she agrees, do I just go directly through her? I am assuming I would have to discuss that with the executor since they would be responsible for the sale of the house, correct?
Right. So the executor acts on behalf of the estate and makes the decision on behalf of the estate. So at some point, you'll need to get their approval to sell the property.
Okay. Okay. All right. Excellent. And my second question, which is now my third question, is, so, you know, I'm about to start going down to the courthouses. I'm going to start going down to the most profitable counties in New York closest to me, which is Queens, where I live, Manhattan and Brooklyn. I've only went to the courthouse to get leads from the document room. So I know what that process is like. But recently you spoke about like being at the courthouse, really knowing the courthouse, knowing the staff, knowing the people, knowing your way around. What I want to know is that if you was explaining what to do at the courthouse, like if somebody was going for their first time and how to navigate it, what would you tell them like from A to Z?
Well, great question. So how do I get started going to the court? And I think I try to be humble and not tell you the answer when I don't know the answer. I know the answer in LA County Court. I have a pretty good idea of an answer in Orange County, California Court, though they just moved buildings. I know nothing about New York's probate court facilities in Manhattan, Queens County, or in Brooklyn. So, but here's the advice I would give you. I would block out time to go. First off, I would devour whatever online resources the county court system has, or borough court, or whatever you call it. I think there's a name for it. I think they call it children's court or family court. They use a different name they use in New York. I forget the name of it. But I would find out all the information online, which would include where the courtrooms are and the dates and times of the various types of hearings.
Okay.
Start with that. And then I would just go regularly. And I have to tell you, I took probate mastery back before it was a company, probate mastery. It was with another company, and then it came to probate mastery. And in the course, the prior coach, prior to Bruce, the founder of probate mastery said, go to court once, check it out. I thought, well, makes sense. I'll go to court once. And I went once, and I realized there was so much going on that I couldn't possibly comprehend it in one visit. So I said, well, I'll just come back tomorrow. I'll come back tomorrow. A week led to a month led to me rewriting my business and going every day because there was just so much going on there. Now, my court is the largest individual county probate court in America, and they're all in one building. I don't know what it is in New York.
Oh, okay.
While New York's pretty big, it's spread out, I think, amongst the five boroughs.
Yeah, there's a surrogate's court in each county.
Surrogate's court. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. And I would pick one, right? You're in Queens. I would pick Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go until I knew everything about that court before I go to a second one.
Okay.
I would be the queen of the Queens surrogate court. I would know where the rooms are, where the courtrooms are, the schedules, the list of who the judges are. I would want to know everything there is to know about that you can find out. And that way, when people ask you questions, you should become the expert of Queens surrogate court. Now, once you're done with Queens and you have time in your hand, you will go to Manhattan, then check that out too, maybe. I don't know. But I would start with one. And I would want to know everything. And I don't know the answer to what to look for. I would know to get there early. If it starts at 8:30, I'd be there at 8:15. Because that's when things are opening and you can ask questions and you're the first one there. You usually can ask questions. A couple of little hints, for example. In LA County, you're not allowed to take pictures in the courthouse.
Okay.
You're not allowed to take videos in the courthouse. But for example, I could do videos on the steps and it's kind of a nice backdrop. And so I usually do a video of what I'm going to do. And I do a video afterwards of what I did. Another video I did that was popular at the time was where to park. Because in LA, I imagine like New York, parking is an issue. Or maybe mass transit's an issue. Which subway station is it? And people want to know. And so if you can tell them, here's the subway station, or here's the bus station, or here's the parking lot, that becomes a valuable piece of content to share with people and share with your customers.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Start with that. Come back next week and tell us your progress.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, Natasha. Okay. And so let's see. The pricing of the product, we mentioned it's in the chat box. That's $399 a month for a 6-month program that Lou talked about. And details are in the chat box there. Let's see, what other question? I know there was one. Getting a different attorney administrator is not as simple as it sounds, Roy. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying oftentimes it's a little more than just saying we should change. The person who has a job doesn't want to give it up sometimes. It's definitely can be complicated. Yes, very good question. I don't know, Tahani and Nicole, you said very good question. I'm just not sure what the question was, or if I answered it already, hopefully. Are you familiar with the court system in Arizona? So again, Nicole, I know some basics of the court system in Arizona, but I don't know it specifically. But more important, I do know each county is different. I am sure that Maricopa is way bigger than all the other counties. And if you're in Maricopa, that looks one way, my guess is much more like Los Angeles. And if you're in smaller counties, I'm sure it's much more like Reuters in California. And so they're all a little different. The name of the website mentioned was Scrivener, S-C-R-I-V-N-R, no E at the end, scrivnr.com. I did an interview with him. Let me see if I can pull it up. I did an interview with him on my YouTube channel. So what I do my YouTubes is typically try to interview vendors so that when I send referrals out, I have that person in my system already. And so I send a video to the customer of the interview. I just put an interview in the chat box there of an interview I did with the owner of Scrivener, Byron Batras. Okay, hands up. Very patient. Thank you. I'm a little slow here today. Let's see. It says Russ Thompson, but that doesn't look like Russ. Let's see if I can bring you in here. It is Russ Thompson Space Coast.
Russ Thompson Space Coast.
What's up?
I have a notice to creditors here, which I printed out from the probate court.
Nice.
And basically it says all creditors have to respond within 90 days. Okay. Mm-hmm. And of course it gets filed in the newspaper, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But on the last page of this thing, I'd like to read this to you. It says, notwithstanding the time period set forth above, any claim filed 2 years or more after the sentence date of death is barred. That sounds self-explanatory. But my question is, does that mean that the probate can't close before that 2 years if they're still looking for potential creditors?
So your question is, can we close the probate before the creditor period for an escrow period in Florida?
Yep.
First answer is, these laws vary by state, number one. Number two, generally, no. Generally, the purpose of probate is to protect the county, and that includes protecting creditors even more so than heirs. The county gets paid and the heir and the creditors get paid before the heirs get their distribution. That tells you where the priorities are.
Yep.
Now, I will say a judge can do whatever the judge wants to do. I'm sure there have been judges who made exceptions and closed beforehand, but they run the risk of the creditor coming back and saying, hey, I didn't get my time period and I'm entitled to it, and how you can make good on that. And so you probably either have to have strong financial means or a fidelity bond that's going to continue past that time period for the judge even to consider it. But generally, I would say the answer is no. Generally, judges don't want to rush through the creditor period. And what would the reason be? Why would somebody have to close an escrow before they give creditors a fair shake?
Given them 90 days,
I think the question was, can they close before 90 days?
No. The creditors have to come forward within 90 days.
Correct. Okay? Correct.
But then there's this little other paragraph here that says, any claim filed 2 years or more after the sentence date of death is barred. So to me, that means almost like they're trying to keep it open for 2 years. Maybe I'm misreading that.
Oh,
but that's,
so you're
that's
saying there's a time period between longer than 90 days and less than 2 years.
Right.
Got it. So the reason why that would happen would be perhaps the creditor didn't get proper notice of the probate. So it's possible there's a filing of the death, but there's not a filing of the probate being processed. And that's what starts the 90-day period, right? Once you have, and then certain creditors are entitled to specific notice, mortgage holders and such. And so if you're noticed for 90 days, your time period's up. But there would be other, perhaps creditors that say, hey, I'm entitled to get paid. And the probate's still open for 2 years, they're going to get paid. And it's not common. I don't know about Florida, but in California, if I just go scroll through open probates, the average has been open for 2 years.
Wow.
So that, it's interesting you asked this question. I have a case that we're getting ready to close where I'm acting as administrator. And we opened it, and I don't know the exact dates. I want to say we opened it about a year ago. And we actually had to change attorneys to Scrivener. We did a great job. So they had it for about 6 months. We opened and closed it, but we had a prior half a year or so. And out of the blue, in the last minute, comes a bill for $50,000. So my estate was about $100,000, and 50 like that gets evaporated by a claim that was over a year old. Had we opened the escrow and closed it quickly, the heirs would have got all that money. But because, partially because they jerked around a little bit with the paperwork, partially because one of the heirs died. Well, they jerk around. Of the three siblings, one dies. Now you have to do a second probate for his heirs. That's what took the year and a half. And so right before we go through all this, ready to close, boom, half the money goes away. And the heirs, one of the heirs' attorneys kind of called me to complain about, you know, the process. Said, well, your client, you know, delayed things. I'm a realtor. I sold the house and got paid already, for the most part. So I think this is one of those things when you talk to customers as professionals, it's hard to quantify. Why should they use you rather than somebody else? And I would say to people, it's never a problem until it's a problem, right? Like another example was before COVID, I had 23 properties pending escrow, waiting for court confirmation. When COVID hit, the court closed down for 6 months. All those escrows canceled and had to be reopened. How do we close the month before? And again, same case, customer attorney dragging paperwork. It wasn't a problem until the court closed down and we couldn't sell for an extra 6 months. And all the extra costs that my customer had to pay, refiling, republication, and such. So these are those things that it's hard to quantify to a customer the value of you as a professional. But if you can help push things moving more quickly, I don't know, is it right to hope that your customer closes probate and avoids creditors? Well, you know, the rules are written that way. I wouldn't tell somebody not to pay money they owe, but if the rules of the game are, you give them notice and you only have to wait 90 days and then you can close the probate. It's kind of like bankruptcy. There are people who have a moral judgment against people file bankruptcy, but the law is written to protect people so they can start over again quickly and hopefully accumulate wealth and provide for themselves. And we got rid of debtors' prisons when we became a country in America, one of the foundations of our country, actually. So is that morally right or wrong? I wouldn't say it's morally wrong. It's the rule book and we play by the rules. So I will always try to tell customers every delay only creates potential risk of bad things. It costs you more money. It costs you more time. There's nothing good that happens from the day you file probate until the day you close it, get distributed. There's nothing good that happens in life from the day you list a property until you close escrow and your proceeds are sent out. And my job is to shorten that time period as much as I can. If I come across as impatient, it's because I'm trying to protect your assets. Okay, there you go. I went on my soapbox a little bit on that one.
Thank you, Bill.
Sure. Does that answer your question?
Pretty much.
Okay, very good. Okay, Natasha, how do you feel about referring vendors I haven't necessarily used yet? As long as you're honest, tell them you haven't used them yet. And then that's why I use the interviews. You could say, hey, my friend Bill uses this guy and says he's great. So you have to lie to him about it. We don't want to lie. We want to tell the truth. And I wouldn't oversell. And I often see agents anxious to refer vendors that they've not used or have only used once. And I would be very careful about that. I want to make sure people know. Okay, next up is Saul has been waiting very patiently. I don't know if you have a video or not, but Saul Negrete, what is going on? Let me see, I got to ask you to unmute there and we'll get your hand down. Are you there still?
Saul Negrete. Yes, I was having issues unmuting.
Okay.
How are you doing? I'm doing great. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
I have a question regarding your first caller. I learned something new. Evidently, there's a limit on how much the personal representative can receive. Any idea where I could find those limits in my state, in the state of Washington?
So you're talking about the fees for the administrator, the statutory fees?
The fees they can charge, yes.
Yeah, I don't know the answer in the state of Washington. I'm sure it's in the probate code. If you buy I'm in California, so I bought the blue book right there is the probate code book. It's also searchable online, but I also Google search because to be honest, I didn't take notes on it. I just Google search statutory probate fees California, and it pops up with a formula. There's a formula in California: 4% the first 100,000, 3% the next 100,000, 2% the next, and 100,000 for each 100,000 after that. 1% each 100,000 after that. So it works out to be $23,000 for $1 million. I remember that number. But state of Washington, I don't know the answer if there is one, but I would Google search it for starters.
Okay. All right.
Did you try that?
So follow up question on that is I always tell the personal representative to keep track of what they're doing, their time spent, so they can charge it back to the estate. Is that wrong?
Well, I would say first I'd be careful because it sounds like you might be giving legal advice.
I lead off with I'm not a lawyer.
Well, yeah, CPA. But if we say I'm not a lawyer, but and then we give them legal advice, you gotta be careful. So I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying be careful. It sounds like you might be because we tell somebody to, you know, in action. Now, as a fiduciary, they may or may not be obligated to bill by the hour. They might be able to bill by bill on a flat fee basis. And so you have to have, again, I don't know the state of Washington as well. Let me just see real quick. May states vary commissions. Okay, so it's interesting. In Washington state, if I Google online, they show their costs and they're a lot less than California's. Though I don't think, they have actually California's commission's wrong, but that's another story. So yeah, I would search it and also I would maybe think this is a good question for an attorney. Do you have attorneys you work with in state of Washington?
Just a couple.
I might ask one of them.
Okay.
I find attorneys enjoy teaching as a general rule.
Okay.
Take them a coffee, take them lunch, have a list of questions. You also might consider interviewing them on your YouTube channel and ask the questions like that.
Okay. Well, okay. So this leads to the third question, which is, if I understand it correctly, is all the debt collectors get paid first before the heirs get paid?
Well, okay. First off, again, I'm in California. I know California law real well. I don't know the state of Washington for starters, but in California, what you do is you spend money as you go along. You have to pay for filing fees and advertising fees and costs of the escrow and costs of the house and all that. Then at some point you file with a court your final distribution. Before you can pay anybody an heir any money, you have to say, okay, here's all expenses and here's the attorney's fees and here's the court costs. And so once that's all paid for, then what's left is X. And X gets split up three ways, and here's how that gets set out. But the attorneys and the court and all that, they get paid off the top.
Okay.
And you're not going to get paid. You can't distribute to heirs until the creditors are paid, if there's any creditors or any other fees.
Okay. Well, with that said, the personal representative would get paid before the heirs if they had some.
No. Again, in California, no. The personal representative getting paid is like an heir. They would get paid. They're going to get paid their share off the top.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's $100,000, let me give you an example, $100,000, you know, estate and, you know, $10,000 to one creditor, there's $9,000 left, $10,000 attorney fees, $80,000 left, $10,000 miscellaneous fees. That's exaggerated. I'm using a round number. Now we have $70,000. So, but the administrator's fee is based on the size of the estate on the $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have maybe a $10,000 fee as well. Now you're down to 60, and the 60 gets split amongst the heirs.
Okay. So it does offset the inheritance.
Off the top, actually, yeah.
Okay, great. All right.
It's determined on the size of the estate. That's another interesting point is you can have $1 million house and an $800,000 first mortgage. So as real estate agents, we think of that estate being worth only $200,000. But at least in California court, it's based on the size of the estate. So $1 million estate, you'd have up to $23,000 of attorney's fees and up to $23,000 of administrative fees off the top. And so your $200,000 estate gets reduced by 23 and 23, you're already down to about 150 plus other costs.
Okay. Perfect. All right. I have my homework. I'll find out what the cap is in Washington.
And come back and tell us.
I will.
That's the job here, is to share it. And then you become the Washington State probate expert and people for your business when they find something up in Seattle.
I am the Washington State tech.
Well, not if you know the fees. So come back next week and we'll put the crown on you, but don't put the crown on yet, okay?
Semi-expert.
Okay, man. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay. And then Roy White asks, is there a probate book in Texas? There has to be, right? You guys have codes and laws. I know Texas is the Wild West, but you guys have laws there. There has to be a probate book in Texas or probate code or something. I don't know what you call it in Texas. I'm sure it's bigger than any other state, but I'm sure there's a probate code of some sort in Texas. Why are you looking at, again, a good question to ask an attorney. And for those of you on this call, you should be interviewing attorneys, taking the lunch, coffee, interviewing on your YouTube channel, and ask the question, and then bring the answer back here. We'd all like to hear the answer to that question, I think. Okay, here we are cruising through the midway point in our call. In North Carolina, flat fee 5% to the executor. Woof, that could be big, right? It could be 5% on a $200,000 escrow or a $1 million escrow, but that could be a nice chunk of money. Okay. Hey, I want to share with you guys something, just kind of since we're in the business together. I do know that, you know, probate's a niche I'm involved with. I do know other companies advertise other niches as being as productive as probate. I don't think that's true. One that's not is divorces. Somebody on this call once asked me about, do I market divorces? And I said, no, because my father was a divorce attorney. I saw how toxic it was dealing with clients in divorce all the time to your marriage. Now, if I was a single man and I wanted to be single the rest of my life, I might be a divorce attorney. Why not? But I'm a married man with a married daughter and grandkids. I want to stay married, all things equal. I guess today that changes every day. Did I just say that on video? I can't believe how I'm talking when my wife's not around. No, I just don't. I certainly don't want to have conflict in my marriage. Like, life is tough enough without that. And I found that, you know, my father being a divorce attorney, and most divorce attorneys I talk to, it's very hard to keep that separate. So I made the conscious choice years ago not to pursue divorce business. But just as a business, I thought I'd share with you guys a graphic I saw. John Burns Real Estate, big real estate investor company. I think they're out of the Northwest, actually. I think they're out of Seattle or Washington State. But shows the number of divorces in America as declining, not because marriages are so healthy in America, but so few people getting married, there's less people to get divorced, right? So that's just a demographic reality in America today. Look at that drop. And that's not just a COVID drop. That's a systemic drop. We peaked mortgages in 1980. So if you're looking for divorce leads, your numbers are decreasing year over year, every year. That's a tough place to get into business. I'm not saying that you can't make a lot of money there. I'm not saying it might not be productive. I'm just saying the probate's the opposite. People are living longer. More people are dying. More probate's cases are being passed. It's becoming a more important niche, I think, every day, whereas I think divorces are becoming less so. So I just thought I'd share that with you guys. I found that really interesting. Okay. Other questions, comments? I don't see any. Anybody else have any question, comment? Okay, let's see, who is that? Nicole. Let's get Nicole in here. What's up, Nicole? Nikki, Nicole? Let's get you unmuted. You unmuted? There you go.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm new. I just kind of had a question kind of along the other person asked, like, where would you start? I just purchased the course to get the certification. And then I also started watching like your older videos that you have posted on YouTube. And then
Nicole, not that old. Don't say it like that. They're your old videos. Well,
they're three years.
Okay, thanks. I'm just
so kidding. One of the things that I learned that you said that you should be doing is learning the forms. You should know the forms inside and out. So I was going to reach out to my broker and kind of ask them like what special forms I would use for probate. And then also, I guess I was thinking about going to the court as you had suggested, but here in Arizona, Maricopa County is the largest county, but inside of Maricopa County, you know, there's different, I've seen like so many different courts. So I don't know, you know, like there's different cities within each, within this county of Maricopa. Phoenix is the largest, but within Phoenix, there's different cities as well, like Surprise, Buckeye, Goodyear, Peoria, and there's courts within those. So I was wondering, like, should I go to those smaller courts or should I just stick to the big Superior Court, Maricopa County Court?
So a couple of things. First off, nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, being new. I don't believe there are any particular forms in the state of Arizona. At least there's no official Arizona Association of Realtor forms. In California, we have California Association of Realtor forms.
Oh.
We as a company have to use those forms. Or I shouldn't say have to, but we're encouraged, and it's makes our life a lot easier. In California, we actually have three forms that are unique to probate. We have a probate listing agreement, we have a probate purchase agreement, and we have a probate advisory that applies to either side. And they're great. I believe they're really powerful tools. They lay out all of the, I should say, most of the contingencies in a pretty clear way. And I've asked brokers in every state I have a chance to talk to, Florida, Michigan, New York, Georgia, Minnesota. I've asked, you know, a bunch of brokers in other states, and apparently there's no other state other than California has such forms. So let me just, when I said that, I didn't know that. I couldn't imagine. Now, I will say California is kind of like the Wild West of, not the Wild West, the opposite. The ancient, what's the word I'm looking for? The overregulated bureaucratic hellhole of California. But the positive is, as realtors, I think we've done a really good job on creating tools that really help us service our customers better and protect ourselves. And so I asked brokers, well, what do you do when you have a probate? How do you protect the client? You know, what if you discover there's a court order needed? Or what if you discover there's multiple heirs who have to sign the contract? And to me, they don't seem to know the answer to that. And so I would ask your broker what they require. Maybe they've created an addendum they want you to use. If not, maybe they should create one. It surprises me that I hear this question. And then some brokers say, well, the attorney creates such a form. So I would then try to find an attorney that creates a form I could use over and over again for our company if I was the broker. So that's the first part. Second part, county. So I don't know Arizona. I think it's the same, though, as California, meaning we have multiple cities with multiple courts. We're called municipal courts. Yeah. And then we have county court system, superior court. Right. And probate's handled in superior court.
Okay.
So it's the equivalent of... Now, it used to be in Los Angeles County that we had probates distributed in 9 different satellite municipal court buildings. And then about 5 years ago, they consolidated all the probate matters. I should say 99% of them go into one court. There's some exceptions, but 99% are done in one court. My guess is Maricopa is similar, and you might want to check. That it may be they're all done in every city, but I would guess they're probably done in Maricopa County, and my guess is they're probably done in one of the main courthouse, I would think, in downtown Phoenix. But that's for you to find out, and then once you know that, now you're the expert.
Right. Okay.
That's what I would do.
Okay.
And the other thing is, how long have you been in real estate?
Almost 2 years. I've only had like 2 transactions because I'm not like full-time. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, but I have a medical background. That's my W-2 job. So probate was like the first, you know, first thing I had an interest, well, wholesaling, but then probate was like, you know, I started hearing more about it and I was like, oh, that'd be perfect with like my medical background. So
because of the referrals from like nurses and senior living centers and things like that?
Yes, because I've worked in like all over the valley. I've worked in hospitals, but then I've also worked in LTech. So, you know, I kind of know about like, you know, the Medicare, you know, the requirements, all that kind of stuff like that. So, and I feel like I could connect with those people better too. So, I genuinely like helping people. So
you guys notice why, if you're watching this, just her voice and her face kind of lit up when she talked about it, right? That's just a reflection of inside that she enjoys that. I imagine if I said to her, you'd sit down and talk to probate attorneys, you wouldn't have that same energy. But when she talked about kind of your people, which is, I don't even know who they, I don't know how to describe them, but whatever that is to you, you kind of lit up. And I think that's the thing all of us find. And my people are attorneys. And I'm not saying I'm right and you're wrong. I'm just saying we all have our chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, rocky road, our preference. Why not play to your preference and play where you're comfortable, rather than play in an area that you're not comfortable with. And so whatever that means to you, I think that's great. I would definitely seek out those people and not, don't follow what other people are telling you you're supposed to do. Like in my case, I try to say to people all the time, look, I go after attorneys because it works for me. My father's an attorney. I was pre-law. I have a bunch of friends are attorneys. My clients are disproportionately attorney. I'm in LA, a very litigious area with a lot of attorneys. I'm near Century City, a lot of attorneys. That's me. That's not you. And that's not saying it can't be you. I'm just saying you check you and decide if it is or not. And in your case, Nicole, I think you're saying, no, you have another niche that I don't have that I'm not going to play as well in. Why not play in your niche rather than my niche? That's all. And I don't even know what your niche is, but it sounds like you do. And that's an important thing, that you feel good about it and that you enjoy it. And I would say, go deeper on it, whatever that means. Meet more of them, find out what they need, be better at providing what they need. And I think you'll win. As far as your business, I would also say, make sure that you share your journey of probate with all of your contacts, even those that you sold a regular house to or leased a house to 2 years ago, your first clients. Don't assume they're not interested in your probate journey, because they have parents, they have aunts and uncles, they have cousins who are inheriting houses, and they don't know where to start. And if they know that you're on that journey, they might call you and say, hey, Nicole, I know you're not an attorney, but we have this question. And you'll say, well, yeah, I'm an attorney, but I work with one, and let me help you out. And that's how we get listings and how we sell houses.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for coming on. Great meeting you. Good luck. And come back and share your journey with us.
Thank you. I will.
Okay. North Carolina flat fee, 5% executor. Good to know. Becky, thank you. Let's see here. Orange County. Winston Covington checks in. Thanks for networking with us. Okay, so Roy says there's no probate LA in Texas. No probate listing agent, maybe? Oh, you mean no probate agreement? No probate?
Correct. Yes, no probate agreement. Yeah, sorry, LA listing agreement. Sorry.
Got it. Okay. So I'd like to submit for suggestion. Okay. Yeah, so I don't think there's any other state in the union. I'm confident. I can say that I think about the reservation. There's no state in the union that has one or requires one. I think the key would be to go to your broker. Roy, who do you sell houses through? What company?
I am the broker. This is my 19th year in business.
Wow. I ask brokers like you all the time. And you know, I'm not saying they embarrass you. The opposite. Nobody ever has an answer. It's just not that common, or they don't think it through. And it also, I think, is California, we're a very litigious state. We're very quick to file lawsuits. We've got a million extra attorneys with nothing else to do. And I don't think that's true in most states. But I will say, I think that trend's growing. I think that's one of those California exports that you may or may not like, but it's coming your way. And if you're broke, you might want to get ahead of that. So if you're interested, email me. I'll send you the sample forms that we have for our probate. And you know, good luck with that. Okay?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Can you drop it in the chat? I don't actually have your email.
Oh, sure. So my email, will add the LA probate expert.com. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And then I'll put my link tree that kind of has all my contact information in it as well. But the best way, if you want something like that, is attach it back, send me an email, and that way I can just attach it. And if I get multiple requests, I can send this to multiple people easily. Okay. Let's see. Where are we? Just kind of FYI, what do I do? So one of the things is because I work with attorneys, I joined the local bar association, which is normally, you know, attorneys where they network, just like we as realtors have our groups that are that we network with, but they also have affiliates, just like we as realtors have affiliates, title, lenders, and such. I'm an affiliate, and I don't go to events and pass out million business cards. I'm not that guy. I really go more participate for my education, and it turns out one of my best attorneys is on a panel at 12:30 today, so in about 40 minutes, with the Bar Association. So I'm going to watch that. On the panel with her is a title rep who I reached out to network with as well and say, hey, I'm a fan of Mina's, and I see you're doing this thing. Talk about the program. We talked, we shared, we exchanged information, and you know, that's how business is done. So that's one of the things that I do is I both go on to be educated. I take notes, and then I send the notes to my attorneys who want them. Maybe they don't, you know, want the class. They don't need it. They don't want to spend the $50. but at least I'll get my take. And if there's a handout, I'll attach the handout and for people who, are the who did make the program. Okay, last call, questions, comments, victories, losses. Anybody want to share any? No? Last chance, going once, going twice. There's a hand up. Peter Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Bill?
Hey, Pete, what's going on, man?
Hey, pretty, not a lot. Got a couple of victories. Remember, Chad had told us, you know, if you want to help clients and you want to get referrals from attorneys, walk into the attorney's office when you walk your client in, make have them have the paperwork all filled out. Well, that I supplied a couple of the forms to a client, and I told them, I said, you know, these are the forms that the attorney's going to have you fill out. They're not necessarily for you to fill out, but just so you have them, you're familiar with them when they present them. Well, when we went to the attorney's office, everything was filled out, all the heirs, the addresses and everything. And all the attorney had to do is say, thank you. And they've never had anybody walk in with a client like that before that they did, had all the paperwork done. And, you know, it was, I get referrals from that attorney now.
You know, I think that is a great suggestion. You know, I can't say I actually sent out a packet of the forms. I use Scrivener as an alternative for some cases. But, you know, one of the challenges attorneys have is the intake from new customers. And part of that is the administrative process, filling out paperwork. Well, we have some of that information ahead of time, right? We already know where they live. We know where the decedent passed. Maybe they gave us a death cert. Maybe we pulled the property profile and had information on the property for them. And so we can certainly streamline, if not do it for them or get the customer to do it ahead of time and bring to the attorney the intake. The other part I find is, Pete, that sometimes customers aren't as efficient. You know, like, let me back up. As a listing agent, by definition, typically the people own a house already. They bought a house. They're selling it. And probate, often not. They're an heir. Mom and dad bought the house. They never owned a house in many cases. Now they own a house. So they haven't been through the rodeo. They don't know how much paperwork they have to sign. And for many of my customers, it's overwhelming. And so the attorneys get stuck with that too, right? The probate, typically they've never done a probate before. There's a lot of forms, the intake forms and the filings and the amendments, the supplements. And so I've offered myself as a resource to get documents signed or notarized for the customer. Yeah, some customers don't DocuSign. So I'll have a local notary go out and sign the package up and scan it, bring it back. So I think those are kind of areas. You know, Pete, I think you're great for sharing, doing the intake forms. And then another level for the rest of us also might be either getting the form signed by taking the customer or having somebody do that or coordinating with Federal Express office to get notary and scanning, whatever works for you. But see, he's finding what the problem is and attempting to solve it. And that's our job, I think, is salespeople. Is if we solve the attorney's problem, we're going to get their business. So thanks for sharing. That's a big victory.
Yeah, this is going to be a long court case. The decedent passed away in 2016. There are nine heirs, one of whom was living in the house since then, and the probate was closed. They didn't do anything with the property. Well, the day we met with the attorney, the sibling living in the house went down and got the court to reopen the probate, appoint herself as the personal representative, submitted fraudulent forms that she gave notice, and sold the house to herself the same day. So this is going to be a huge learning experience for me. I'm really looking forward to it, but we're going to get it done at the end of the day.
So interesting. In California, that couldn't happen because we have title companies that wouldn't issue title insurance and procedures that would make that difficult. But you're in.
Yeah, she went with a notary public, and you know, the mortgage plus there are three liens on the property, and none of whom got notice or were paid off. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I'll let you know what happens.
Please do, Peter. Thank you. Thanks so much. Okay. And so I think our last question of the day, it looks to me like you've heard me mention before, but can anybody file a probate if you're not related to the deceased? So Daniel asked this question, can anybody file a probate? And Again, I don't know the rules in other states. In California, literally anybody can file the probate. Now, when you file, you have to notice people. And theoretically, somebody is going to say, hey, that's my father. That's my uncle. That's my whatever. And if you notice, if they get noticed and told properly, how's it happen? In California, when you file a probate, you're obligated to notice people that you know of or can find. And then you also have to publicize by filing in certain types of newspapers the fact that you filed a probate. And then there are companies that take those filings and do what's called an error search. And so if they see that you're filing it and you're not related, they're going to look for errors and call them and say, hey, there's somebody who's trying, who you know, you might be the heir for a $500,000 estate, and there's somebody filing on it, you know, and it might be your heir. You might have the priority. And so in California, then it comes down to who has the priority that the court would appoint to be the administrator of the estate. Why might you have anybody being able to file? Well, one reason is if you're owed money, the heirs might be glad to sit on the house and not sell it, but they might owe you $100,000. The deceased might owe you $100,000. Well, you can force them to sell the property in essence or refinance or borrow money to pay you off, because you're entitled to get paid. You can file the probate. And if you're the administrator, you can sell the property at a fair market price and pay the creditors, including yourself. There's a process to make sure that you'll take advantage of that. Another might be you're just a neighbor and the property is an eyesore, or commonly now we have squatters, drug dealers. We're in Los Angeles. It's like a war zone in some neighborhoods. And so you can, you know, and I've done this. I've had investors call me, wholesalers call me up, realtors, and we find a way to get the property sold, or at least start the process, and maybe we then identify heirs, and either the heirs step into the position and sell it and use the realtor. I've had that happen before. I've had heirs who appreciate me and say, yeah, I'd love to have you list it and I'll be the heir, the administrator. I've had other ones say, no, go ahead and administer it and just pay us our share when we're done. So anybody can file in California, then there's a prioritization area. I should say any resident of California can file a probate in California. And then there's a prioritization as to who gets to do it. So there's multiple petitions. The court will decide who is the priority case. Okay, I think we covered a lot today. Hopefully it was helpful. Was this on point today? You guys get some information out of this? You guys learned some stuff? Hopefully you did. So, okay, just a quick wrap up then to go through kind of who we are. This is Probate Mastery's Tuesday coaching program. We do it every week, Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And you come in here and choose programs. Hold it, change. There you go. Start with the basics or get certified. And there's some course bundles. Check all that out. The free weekly coaching program is what we're on now. You can sign up for that and get notified and come in on Zoom or watch them recorded. And then continue the conversation on Facebook, Estate Professional Mastermind. I'm Bill Gross. Separately, I host Probate Weekly every Thursday at 4 p.m. Sign up here for that. You get notified, or you can get it via your favorite audio format or past episodes on YouTube. I have a Facebook group, Probate Weekly. Love to have you guys join that. We have 3,700 members. Look for referrals. Look for agents in other states, attorneys in other states. Post your probate-related content. Love to promote your content and help you build your business. We'll build it together. And then lastly, my contact info, Linktree, linktr.ee/BillGross. You have all my information, all the things I do there. I'm at Bill Gross Probate on social media. I host this program every Tuesday. Thank you, everybody, and have a powerful week. We'll talk soon.